Verbally Effective with Ina Esco is an interview-style podcast that intersects art, culture, politics, and entertainment with a Memphis focus. Each week, I'm joined by a featured guest with roots in Memphis. Verbally Effective delves into each guest's personal journey to uncover the incredible stories fueling their purpose, the highs and lows of their pursuits, and how through their passion, they are moving the culture forward. Greetings, greetings, and welcome to another edition of the Verbally Effective Podcast. I am your host, your double E, Ina Esco. This is the podcast that intersects art, culture, politics, entertainment with a Memphis focus. And I have some very special guests in the studio with me here at Cossett Library. And I've worked with you guys, I want to say the last 3 or 4 years on, a big event that you guys have later in the fall. But today it's all about Elevate, a huge event that you all are having next week. But before we get into Elevate, I'm going to make the introductions. We're going to start with Marcellus Harper, the founding director over there at Collage Dance. How are you, Marcellus?
I'm great, Ina. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, yes. So Marcellus, you know, you got the sexy voice on today. I'm so happy you're joining me.
Look,
I've been saying, Marcellus, I need to get you on the podcast. I've had Kevin join me before, but I'm glad you're here today because we're going to get into some of the history behind Collage Dance, why it was formed, how it's helping so many Black dancers and artists out here in Memphis. And we also have Victoria Jensen with her first season here at Collage Dance Collective. How are you, beautiful?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, yes. And you're originally from where again?
Uganda
to Memphis. I love it. But I know you have a story to tell today on the Verbally Effective Podcast. We're going to start with Marcellus first. Marcellus, tell me how you even came up with the concept of bringing a Black dance company to Memphis.
Yeah, that's, I would never have imagined in a million years that I would be, when I was in high school or growing up, leading a ballet company. So there's a lot of divine intervention involved in terms of like how my path ended up leading me here. I've always had a passion for the arts. Growing up, I was very involved in theater and music, oratory. Those were all passions. But I was always, I was socialized and also raised to believe that the arts were not something that you could have a career in.
Correct.
That it was something that was a hobby, and so I was more tracked towards science and tech. And always did and participated in the arts, but again, it was extracurricular, and I thought that it was a hobby. Fast forward, I went to school pre-med.
Pre-med.
Yes, I was pre-med. I was actually in a scholarship program that had a focus on or was geared to students who were going after their MD, PhD, and so I was 3 years into that program, and also taking theater classes. Mm-hmm. And I remember my theater professor saying that basically I had gone as far as I could go with the theater classes. And so if I wanted to go further, I would have to become a theater major. Mm. And so about 3 years in, became a theater major, left the scholarship program. And I think,
what did your parents say? That's a big shift.
That is a big shift. My whole life changed. It was a very difficult transition and the beginning of a transition towards like really trying to be honest with myself about, where my passions lie, what my mission is, and just walking boldly in that purpose. It wasn't an easy transition. It took several years, but I think ultimately it led me here. And so fast forward, I lived in New York with the thought that I would pursue a theater career in New York. Met Kevin Thomas, who's the founding artistic director. And so we began dabbling in producing dance performances. He was dancing with the Dance Theater of Harlem at the time. And, just from that very, you know, humble beginning of producing dance performances just as a passion project, that's kind of evolved into this full-time, all-encompassing career.
Was it exciting when you first started producing with Kevin in New York? Because that's where, is that where the mecca is for dance?
Absolutely. And so what would happen is Kevin was dancing with Dance Theater of Harlem. For those who don't know, Dance Theater of Harlem at the time was the preeminent, black ballet company. And so DTH would get approached by folks who wanted them to perform. And if the project wasn't at the right scale, if it wasn't, you know, something that was suitable for a company of that stature to take on, they would kind of pass it on to Kevin and say, hey, if you want to pull some dancers together to kind of, you know, do this small gig out, you know, in Vermont or do this small project here, you know, go ahead and you know, run with it. And so I really just kind of helped Kevin, supported him on the production side and the administrative side and some of the creative to kind of pull these smaller projects off. And when DTH went on hiatus, there were several dancers who were displaced, who didn't have a platform anymore. Mm-hmm. And so Kevin and I felt like we wanted to try to fill that void. And also, because of how important we thought Dance Theater of Harlem was, we felt that there should be more than one company like Dance Theater of Harlem mm-hmm. that really is committed to diversity and representation and providing safe spaces and culturally affirming spaces for black dancers and dancers of color. So we set out to create Collage. And
how did you get from New York to Memphis?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. You know, again, at this time, it was all a passion project. We weren't making any money by doing this. I had an opportunity to work at St. Jude, you know, because both Kevin and I still had day jobs mm-hmm. when Collage started, because mm-hmm. Collage was making.
You had that pre-med background, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had a little bit of, you know, I had some skills that I could leverage. So I had an opportunity at St. Jude, and I said to Kevin, what do you think about, what do you think about bringing Collage to Memphis? And I had never really, Memphis wasn't on the radar. I didn't really know where it was on a map at the time, if you had asked me. It wasn't even a thought. And so for about a year, we kind of played with the idea, did our own due diligence, you know, did our own like kind of intel about what Memphis would be like, and thought we were moving to Atlanta. So, you know, just heard that Memphis had a strong black middle class, heard that it was progressive, heard that it already had a strong artistic and cultural scene. So it was like, yeah, you know, this sounds like all the right mm-hmm. ingredients for something like what we're trying to do to work. You know, we moved to Memphis. It wasn't Atlanta.
Okay.
which, you know, is probably good and bad, has its pros.
Plenty
and its
of opportunity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it was a very special place that had so much opportunity. And if you are someone who wants to make a difference, it's really inspiring to see that impact happen, mm-hmm. you know, in a city like Memphis, where you might not be able to see it in a city like New York as quickly.
Indeed. And you're originally from where?
I'm originally from the Washington, D.C. area.
Gotcha. Wow, that is amazing to just hear you talk through how, you know, you were into the arts at a young age, went to school, changed your major to theater arts, and started working with Kevin in New York, and now you're in Memphis with Collage. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
And one of the things that I'm most inspired about this job is that I get to work with so many young people and really stand in front of them and put forward the message that you can make a living doing what you're passionate about.
Yes.
And so whether that's ballet or anything else, mm-hmm. I think too few black kids hear that messaging. Mm-hmm. So if you're passionate about making cupcakes, if you're passionate about ballet, if you're, you know, you can make a living doing that. And I think, you know, kids that don't grow up looking like us, I think that they hear that message more mm-hmm. and therefore feel that they have more opportunities. And so, you know, it's a very inspiring, you know,
it is
message to be part of.
Indeed. Well, Victoria, we are going to transition into your story because you told me you are originally from Uganda and now you're in Memphis with Collage. Tell me how all of that happened.
I was adopted in Uganda, lived in Cote d'Ivoire from 2 to 5 in West Africa after, and then moved to Vermont when I was 5
years
old.
Can we stay a minute on Uganda for a second?
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Tell me about Uganda.
Yeah.
And you growing up there.
Well, so I only spent 2 years in Uganda as a child, and then I went back and visited.
Okay.
I'm so lucky that my mom and family spent so much time out there. She spent about 20 plus years working for UNICEF out there, so we brought a lot of culture home with us and a lot of Ugandan values within our family. And I have older sisters who are also born and raised in Uganda.
Wow.
So that I'm super grateful for. You know, it's placed in East Africa on Lake Victoria, which I'm named after.
Okay.
And there's just so much beauty there, you know. I definitely am overdue for a visit. I was telling Marcellus.
I haven't been there yet. I am wanting to go so bad, and I'm wondering which country do I really want to go to?
I mean, I'm of course biased, and I'll say
I know you are. I know you are.
But we have a little bit of everything. People don't know we have, I think, one of the biggest populations of gorillas on the western side, because, you know, we border very close to Rwanda, and then Congo is also close by. And then we have Queen Elizabeth National Park, full of so many animals and, you know, protected space for them. And, you know, on Lake Victoria, which is just, you know, one of the biggest, you know, lakes to exist. You can see it on the map right there. And it's also the source of the Nile, which runs upwards, which is a very unique thing. So it's a magical place, you know.
It is.
It's kind of, as I learn more research, it is also the beginning of humanity. You know, East, Southeastern Africa is where we all began.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know you mentioned you moved to Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about Vermont.
Yeah, Vermont is a very different place than Uganda.
Yes, it is.
Yes, you know, small states.
Okay. I haven't been there either.
Yeah, also Vermont. Beautiful. Also
I heard
beautiful.
Vermont is gorgeous.
Yeah, the nature. I think it's one of the only states that we don't have billboards. They don't allow it.
Really?
You know, my little hometown out in the woods that we lived in, they still don't have cell service because they won't even let the fake tree towers be there.
Oh, they're not playing over there.
They're not playing.
Vermont.
Okay. No, they wanna maintain the integrity of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to grow up in a lot of nature, and I told somebody recently, when I first came to the States and I was in Vermont, when the trees were moving, I thought that they were monkeys because I was used to the monkeys shaking the trees. And then it took me a while to realize it's just, you know, wind.
Wow.
And just changing the whole scenery of animals and stuff. And,
You
know, we saw bears and sometimes had a bear on our porch here or there.
It's cold out there, isn't it?
It is cold up there.
Okay.
Yeah. No. And so I was, you know, trained in the cold, if you will.
Okay. So you started dancing in Vermont.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell me about that experience.
Yeah, I was a very active child. I came to the States having started gymnastics and moving. However, I love music and art as well. And so my mom put me into dance at about 5-6 years old when we first got here. And I just fell in love with it instantly. I still did a lot of other things. I still did sports. But if I had to choose, I would always choose dance for me. You know, I did acting as well, musical theater.
Come on, acting.
Yes, love those things as well. But the challenge of just movements to music and the athleticism of ballet just really captured me and healed me. And, you know, it was something that I can always go back to as home, you know, even though I was moving around so much and many changes were happening in my life, I still had a home within, you know, this movement and art form.
And what are your parents saying today about how you've progressed in dance?
So I would say that my mom would be, I believe that she's proud. And so I was adopted by a single mother. However, she has dementia. And so that's been ongoing and developing.
Yeah.
So she won't get to see me perform with Collage, unfortunately, which is, you know, just heartbreaking because she's a person who, she had my back, and she had such a unique story. You know, part of her story is spending a year at the Paris Opera, you know, training, or Paris Conservatory, training in pianist, as a concert pianist, and then also working in international, you know, relations.
Yeah.
And so when I was 16, she supported me going to a pre-professional training school in Philadelphia and pursuing this. You know, she's an academic. She's, you know, was on very on track to have a PhD aside from her disease. So very academically oriented family. Mm-hmm. However, she also saw so much value in the arts. Yes. And she's the reason I'm here, you know, fundraising, you know, making me take photos and write a whole letter to all the people in our network to raise money for me to go to summer intensives and programs. That's the work she did to get me here today.
She's a good mom.
She's a wonderful mom. Yes.
Yes. And how did you end up in Memphis, Tennessee at Collage?
I know. So I heard about Collage over the years, and you know, more recently was based in Connecticut, and saw the audition, you know, for in New York City, just 2.5 hours away.
Collage got a lot of buzz everywhere.
Yeah,
huh?
They have the buzz.
I mean,
their marketing is amazing.
Yes, it is.
You know, you just see beauty and quality in it.
Black people.
Okay. You know, as a black dancer, dark-skinned dancer, it's hard to find a space.
Why is that still in 2024?
You know, I think the institution of ballet and just its foundation and where it started regionally as a Eurocentric art form just continues to, it's just having a hard time shifting mm-hmm. and accepting other, accepting yes. People of color and the culture of people of color, and the fact that that can also be represented through this art form. So I was frustrated, to be honest, when I got into the professional world. I thought I would see more change than I saw.
Were you looked over many times?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel, you know, although I was primed and had the training and placed to, you know, start a professional career, oftentimes I was set aside and it took more time, you know, mm-hmm. and it was frustrating. And it was hard to find a space where the willingness to be invested in me and push me to get to my, you know, full potential wasn't quite there, you know. So finding Collage and getting to, you know, audition in New York and then being invited down here, something you rarely see in the company, ballet company audition process, is a company that will fly you down, put you up in a hotel, get you transportation, take you out to meals.
So professional.
So, you know, like the business world, the way you normally would interview for a job. And they're auditioning you, you're auditioning them. We got to see the space, and, you know, it was, you know, instant love.
Did it feel like home?
It felt like home. Okay. Absolutely. There's things that when I walk into the space, I don't have to think about, you know, like being in a white space and feeling alone in that. I have all my brothers and sisters right there in the space with me, and it's yes. something I'm very grateful for.
Well, thank you and welcome, Victoria, Memphis. And I know Collage is loving on you right now.
I appreciate it. Yes.
Okay, well, let's get into the big event, Elevate. Marcellus, tell me, how did you guys come up with the concept for Elevate? What is the concept and when it will be? And give me all the deets.
Oh my gosh, yes. So Elevate, it's really an extension of our season theme, which is really Elevate. Elevating, you know, taking the organization to the next level, artistically, administratively, in all of the aspects. We have experienced tremendous growth over the past 3 years.
How many dancers do you have now?
Yeah,
first season?
So 3 years ago, prior when the pandemic started, we had 8 professional dancers. Wow. And today we have 16. So yes. The company has doubled. Our operating budget has, you know, grown significantly. The number of students we serve has, you know, doubled. We serve 1,000 kids a week. Mm. And so we just have seen, you know, as I said, just tremendous growth in a period when some of our peers, you know, have actually shrunk. And so it really speaks to the community's support of the organization. It speaks to the need and the niche that we fill within the community. And it also speaks to the hard work of our artist, the beauty of the dancers like Victoria and what they bring to the stage and how that resonates with the audiences. And so to continue and sustain this growth, it's really been all about how we elevate. Mm-hmm. And so this spring program, I think, is just a reflection of that. It's three very bold, strong works that show our desire to create new work, because that's an important part, but also to bring important masterworks to the Memphis community.
You're keeping it fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. We're trying to keep it fresh. And so we'll see a piece called Luminescent, which is choreographed by Durante Verzola. The composer is Joseph Ballon Chevalier de Saint George. My French accent is not great.
That was good,
Victoria.
Yeah.
Kevin, our artistic director, who speaks fluent French, you know, he makes me insecure about my French. So
I just know a little Creole, yeah. So I'm going to feel real insecure.
Hopefully, I didn't butcher his name. But what's amazing about this composer? He's an 18th century Black composer. Many refer to him as the Black Mozart, but you know, he came before Mozart. So actually, it was, you know, as an artist, he influenced Mozart. And there was a Netflix movie about him.
I saw it. It had to be it. Yep. Yep.
And so what's amazing is that, you know, again, like, you know, we don't know. And so many instances, particularly in classical spaces, Black people have contributed heavily to these spaces. And a lot of times our contributions are either erased or marginalized. And so there was a lot of work to suppress and erase his legacy mm-hmm. as part of the classical, you know, his contributions to the classical canon. I'm really excited that we have this piece that utilizes this 18th century Black composer's music.
You're giving him his flowers.
Giving him his flowers and reclaiming that space. Mm-hmm. We also have a piece called Bluff City Blues, choreographed by Amy Hall Garner.
Real which Memphis.
It's very Memphis, ballet to the blues, a combination you don't typically see, but is quintessentially Memphis. Our ability to combine, you know, and juxtapose like contrasting elements of art is really the Memphis brand. And so very excited about audiences connecting with this piece again. And then it will be the Memphis premiere of Chroma, which is choreographed by Wayne McGregor, who is the resident choreographer for the Royal Ballet in London.
Oh, wow.
And so this work has been done by, you know, some of the largest, most important ballet companies around the world, you know, so Australia, you know, Asia, the UK, and then major metropolitan cities like Philadelphia and Boston. So to be able to bring this type of work to Memphis, for the Memphis community to be able to see it and experience it, you know, just feel very proud to be part of that work and very excited for hopefully everyone who can hear my voice to attend Elevate April 20th and 21st at the Cannon Center.
Wow. It seems like such a diverse and very elevated event. And, you know, how has Memphis responded to your events here? Because I heard you say that everything has grown. How has the community embraced Collage with your events?
That's a great question. I think the community has just been so supportive of the work that we do and understanding that the work that we do transcends ballet. It's not just about ballet. It's about creating safe and culturally affirming spaces. It's about representation and the power of representation to change our worldview. It's about narratives and the power of narratives to like kind of inform young people about what their opportunities are. It's really about more than ballet. It's about excellence and it's about, you know, discipline. It's about all of these powerful things that people who have supported and embraced us see the value in and see how that positively impacts the community. So I'm just very grateful that we have been supported in that way. With that said, you know, we do produce art and, mm-hmm. you know, art is hard, is a hard sell. We're in a city that, you know, values sports, it values food, it values, mm-hmm. religion, you know, church. So not fitting within sometimes those lanes, it's hard to get people to respond the way that I feel like I want more people to see the work. Less than 3% of U.S. adults see ballet. Mm-hmm. So that means that the vast majority of folks are not attending ballet performances. And I feel like they're just robbing themselves of a really beautiful experience. Most of the people who come into the space and see a performance, I would say 9 times out of 10, the most common comment I receive is, I had no idea.
Yes.
I had no idea
it's really beautiful
that it was going
to
be like this.
It's an experience.
Yeah. I think we have a preconceived notion about what dance is and what ballet is. And I'm not saying that all dance and all ballet is great. A lot of it's not. Some of it's very boring. So I get it. But our work and what I think we do well is to really create work that's engaging, that's relatable, that's accessible. Because what I'm trying to do is touch that 97%.
Yes, sir.
And so the only way we do that is by, you know, taking chances, doing work that's outside of the box, you know, connecting ballet with themes that resonate with people of color, that resonate with young people, that resonate with men, that resonate with all the demographics that historically maybe have felt like ballet is not for them.
I love it. I love it. And you really said something when you kind of outlined the things that Memphis appreciates, because that is so true. Mm-hmm. That is so true. And as an artist myself, just with elevating the voices of storytellers with podcasting, it can get a little challenging to get other people on board to see the vision. So I definitely can empathize with you with that. Victoria, how are you contributing to Elevate?
Yeah, I'm here to put on my best performance and, you know, share my passion with the audience. It's a magical feeling. You know, most of our work is rehearsing and preparing, mm-hmm. and then we get that moment on stage and we get to perform. And for dancers, that moment, you know, it's magical. It's the height of it. And it's a relationship with the audience. So we're giving something, and hopefully they're receiving it. And we also get something from the audience as well. And one of the pieces, Bluff City Blues, which I'll be dancing, is such a fun, you know, especially performing it here in Memphis, knowing that the music is, you know, Memphis artists, mm-hmm. and an ode to the community. It's just fun to play with the audience. It's, mm-hmm. it's fun to play with the other dancers and really, let our own individual selves, you know, shine through as well. Mm-hmm. We get to be human, you know, we're dancing and we're doing really technically hard things, but we're also people, you know, telling a story on mm-hmm. the stage. So I think audiences will be really excited for the range that we have, yes. and that we're putting out. And you get to see a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be a journey, and you know, maybe audience members will go through a transformation. You know,
it
I love to leave a theater and just feel like I've seen something new, or I felt something new, or I have a new perspective, because mm-hmm. you can feel those things through dance, even though it's not verbal. The movements speak a lot.
It does, because I've watched, you know, the performances with Collage, and I'm like, I wish I could dance like that, or, you know, I can feel the music, mm-hmm. and I just can relate to the dancers.
Well, you know, we have adult classes.
I was supposed to sign up, but tell me about the adult classes.
We have adult classes. So we have beginner, intermediate adult classes, I believe in ballet, jazz, mm-hmm. tap, flamenco. But we also have something that I'm really excited about, which are adult courses. And these courses were designed for folks with no experience. Mm-hmm. So those who are scared, those who are hearing me, who are thinking, I've always wanted to dance, but I've never taken a dance class. I don't want to look like an idiot in a dance class. This class is for you. It's for folks with no previous experience.
Is that your most popular?
It is.
I know.
And it's a six week course. So you sign up for 6 weeks. And so it's an intro to ballet or an intro to jazz. Sometimes we have intro to tap. And the instructor walks you through the basics so that at the end of the course, you feel comfortable going to a beginner ballet class or a beginner tap class.
I can see you teaching that class, Marcellus.
Well, you don't. we have some amazing teachers to do that. So I support them. And you
do
know,
some of the principal dancers teach some of these classes?
You know, absolutely. Sometimes our professional dancers, absolutely, I think teach adult classes. Mm-hmm. So it's also a great way to be in community with some of our professional dancers that way. So.
Yeah. Wow. And Victoria, I really want to ask you this.
Yes.
What is the day in the life of a collage? Yes, a collage dancer look like?
Yeah. So we almost work an exact 9 to 5. Our first class of the day. So we start the day with ballet class. You know, we're going back to our roots. We're setting our bodies up for all the work we're going to do throughout the day. Yeah. So we will stretch and warm up before class. So a lot of us arrive, you know, between.
I got to be ready.
To start. Yeah. Around 8:45, you know, to get ready for class at 9. And ballet class starts at the bar. You know, we start with support from the bar. We do right side, left side. Then we get out into center for the female identifying dancers. We put our pointe shoes on and we get up on our toes and we have no support and we start to move across the floor.
And how are your toes today?
My toes are okay today. Okay. You know, I actually did cut my toenails last night because they were getting they get slightly long and it starts to hurt a bit.
I heard
a
dancer's toes can go through it.
They can go through it. They can go through it. You know, my fellow dancers and I, we have our moments, but I've been on point since I was 10, so.
And on point means?
So wearing the pointe shoes on the toes. Okay. Yeah, the special shoes, they support your feet. We usually have some padding that we wear inside as well. They need to be hard, because when they're soft, your toes actually hit the floor, and that's not what you want. Ooh. We're not actually directly standing on our toes. We have support to hold us up. So I've been doing it for 16 years, and it's still something constantly working on. That's the thing with ballet. It's always interesting because you're going to always have to keep working on it.
Right.
Our class is about an hour and a half, and then we have 15 minutes and we start rehearsals. Our first set of rehearsals will go from 10:45 to about 1 o'clock. Then
is Kevin leading those?
Kevin will be a part of them.
Okay.
Sometimes it's just our rehearsal director, Lenore. Sometimes when we have a choreographer coming in or a guest, you know, coming in, they're working with us instead. So it changes from day to day. Sometimes there's multiple rehearsals at the same time. I think even yesterday I was in a rehearsal with Kevin and the rest of the dancers were in a rehearsal with our rehearsal director, Lenore, and as well as the setter for one of our pieces. So we'll have rehearsals. We'll have lunch, 1 to 2.
What do you eat at lunch?
I actually really love being at Collage because oftentimes in dance institutions, it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes here. People eat bars, a banana.
Bars?
Yes. But I'm saying it's not enough, not for what we're trying to do.
Okay.
So here at Collage, you know, dancers will come in with their rice and their bean sauce and
little protein.
Their salad, some hearty food. You know, everyone sits down and eats something before we go into the second half of our day.
Because you really need to keep it light.
Because of the rigorous. Each body is different, and of course you want to process the food. But you know, I think the first week I looked at my watch and I'd burned like 3,000 calories on that first day. So we have to refuel.
So you're keeping up with that.
We have to refuel. Yeah. Okay. For me, it's a challenge to make sure I eat enough for what I'm burning.
Okay. I wish I had that challenge.
I know.
What size are you, Victoria?
What size? Uh-huh. Like clothing size? Yeah. Like zero.
Zero. Know, yeah. You don't look like a zero to me. You look a little thicker than a zero.
Yeah, no, I have
a little thicker snicker.
I have some curves on me.
Yes,
but,
you do.
But it's interesting. Like it's still, you know.
And curves are okay at Collage.
Exactly.
Because I see some curves at Collage.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And I love the fact that there are so many guys dancing
at
Collage, and they're so good. They're so good. Mm-hmm. Are you guys seeing an increase in the interest for men with joining Collage?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we're very proud of our boys program. We're very proud of the number of young men that we reach in our Turning Point program. So that's when we actually go into the schools and teach dance as part of the school day or in an after school model. And then, like you said, our professional dancers, the men are just amazing athletes, amazing artists. And to see that artistry and athleticism come together, I think they're great role models and examples, hopefully, for other men to come and be part of the community, whether that's as a student or as an adult. So we also have adult classes.
Yes.
Love you to see men in those as well.
Okay. And I'm coming to the zero beginner.
Yes. That's our adult courses. Yes.
Now, I will tell you that when I was a child, my mom did have me in ballet. And I have like these old pictures in my little tutu and a little, you know, sparkly outfit.
Yeah.
But I can't give you no moves. Like, I didn't stay in it long, maybe 2 years, very young.
That's okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think it's a part of a lot of people's growing up, especially for girls. And the discipline you learn in dance, I think, is very valuable. It translates well to anything you can do, you know.
Indeed.
So I have a lot of friends who danced throughout their young adult and childhood, and they don't necessarily dance professionally now, but I still think it informs their life, and also the ability to take care of our bodies and, you know, move and be healthy and have joy in that.
That is true.
And part of like getting more boys to be involved with ballet is really education. And so that's a big part of the work that we do, is really trying to educate folks on what ballet is and what it's not, dispelling myths. And that's across the board. You know, a lot of people, their vision of what ballet is comes through Disney movies or, you know, Disney cartoons. So even young girls will come to Collage and think that, you know, ballet is all about unicorns and fairy dust and pink tutus, and it's actually not. It's about core work and planks and push-ups.
It's a workout.
You know, it's about, you know, stretching and, you know, enduring pain. It's about working through injury.
Yes,
it's about,
they are,
it's
so about, strong.
It's about all of these things that have nothing to do with glitter and unicorns and pink and all of this, you know, stuff that typically is associated with girls. And so, you know, once you do that education and once we work on that, then it creates an opportunity for us to, I think, to have more engagement from young men. And we need men. I mean, you can't do a ballet. We can't do Romeo and Juliet without Romeo. You know, you can't, there can't be a princess without a prince.
True.
You know, so we need men in this art form.
Yes. And I'm also thinking about just mentally, the mental strength of a dancer. Talk to me about mental.
It's challenging. It's it requires a lot of balance, you know. Dance as a whole takes a lot physically and mentally. You know, we have to think about our bodies, what we're doing, what we're working on. We have to think about the space. We have to think about the other dancers around us, our relationship to them. And when we're learning work too, you know, you're learning sometimes new movement or new styles of movement, and it requires a lot of thought. We're counting, you know, there's a lot that goes on mentally. And then there's just the natural challenges of, you know, having off days or things not working as well, or just, you know, not being in this one piece or being in another one or all of that, because, you know, everyone can't do everything. And so it becomes a challenge. And I think a lot of us, you know, have to put a lot of effort and time into our mental health. It's not talked about enough. And I think then dancers do get out there and they're ready to be professionals, and people sink, you know, people burn out really quickly and then, you know, just can't handle the mental part of it. So each individual has their own things, what they need to unwind, what they need to, you know, take care of themselves and value themselves and their worth. The training naturally, historically, has, you know, there can be a lot of mental abuse within ballet training. You know, that's things that a lot of institutions are trying to change. And so combating that and you know, knowing our self-worth on top of, you know, who we are as a dancer and leaning into that and working through all of that, you know, it's a big part of it.
Wow, you guys, you know, have such a huge responsibility as a dancer. And I am so happy to have met you, Victoria Jensen.
Thank you so
much. Coming to Elevate next week to check you out.
Okay.
Marcellus, please give the people of the Verbally Effective audience, you know, one more rundown of Elevate, the date, the time, what we can expect, and tickets.
Absolutely. So Elevate is next weekend, April 20th and 21st. So that's a Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, the show's at 7:30. Sunday, it's at 2:30 at the Cannon Center for the Performing Arts. And I believe for you, Ina, because you are special, and for your audience, I think we're offering discounted tickets.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and I have that information. Yes. Okay.
So that was tickets. The segue.
Yes, yes.
It wasn't
yes.
very smooth. I work on my segue.
You're so good, okay. Marcellus. Tickets start at just $20 currently. And Verbally Effective listeners, check this out. You can unlock the code by entering 50OFF. Okay, OFF, 50OFF on Ticketmaster to get a pair of tickets for the price of one. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, 50% amazing. Off, you can't beat it.
Yes, a lot of bang for the buck too.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I have really enjoyed you guys today on the podcast. See, it was easy, right? I asked the right question.
You did.
Thank you so much. I got you guys
to really pour out all of your hearts today. Thank you so much, Marcellus Harper, the founding executive director over there at Collage,
and
the beautiful Victoria Jensen.
You
are amazing, lady.
Thank you.
And I pray that, you know, we'll see you here in Memphis for more than one season. How long y'all usually stay over there at Collage? Forever?
Oh, forever. They
okay.
Yeah, so far. Yeah.
So can people check out the programming for Collage? Give us the website.
Yes, the website is Collage Dance, collagedance.org. And you can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook, Collage Dance. And
when are the next auditions?
We've just wrapped auditions, so I'm very excited to say that all 16 dancers are returning next year, which is a big deal. I think it speaks to you know, the great work that's happened this year. You know, we're so proud of the artist and so happy that they want to stay and be part of, you know, the company, and also part of the Memphis community. And I believe we've also hired, we're growing the company, so we'll be adding a couple of dancers. So I'm excited.
Yes, I
for
love
you
to hear
meet
it.
Our new dancers. And so, yeah, we have an exciting season next year, and hopefully we'll be invited back to talk about it.
Definitely, definitely. You guys are always invited here at the Verbally Effective Podcast. And I want to just thank you all for sharing these beautiful stories and the need to have representation in this art form, right? So I really appreciate you guys, Marcellus and Victoria. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, yes. And thank you all for tuning in yet again to the Verbally Effective Podcast. I'm your host, Shadouble Ina Esco. Hit that subscribe button on that Ina Esco YouTube channel and hit that follow for the Verbally Effective Podcast on all streaming platforms. Thank you so much.